Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you this morning and asking for you to guide me, Lord. I ask for your anointing here, Lord. Lord, that you might come and speak to your people, Lord. Lord, to encourage them, lift them up, Lord. Father, I pray you'll bless them this morning, dear God, with a very spiritual blessing, Lord. It's real special, Lord. We ask for your glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 42. I've had a thought on my heart for couple of weeks now, and I know that you can go and listen to the message of Deep Calleth to the Deep, and I encourage you to do that, but I just had it on my heart so much the last couple of weeks, and some things about it that I just wanted to preach on Deep Calleth unto the Deep. Psalms 42, verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Amen. You may be seated. You ever have one of those days where perhaps you're maybe even in the middle of work or in the middle of doing something and you just got so much burdened on you and you got just the cares of your daily life and things just seem to be really pressing on you. Maybe you've had a bad day or the things of this world pressing on you and you just think, man, I can't wait to get out of here. I cannot wait for that rapture. Amen. Brother Branham said, before you could have a longing for another place, another land, there had to first be another place. Before we could have a longing to go to heaven, there first had to be a heaven. Isn't that just really spoke volumes to me that, you know, we miss our loved ones. We long to see them again. We long to have a time where we don't part with them no more. We have a longing for a time where we don't have to part with one another. If we got a longing for that, then there's a place where we'll see them again. There's a place where we'll be with our loved ones again. There's a place where we'll be that we'll never have to separate from one another, to where we'll spend eternity. Because that is in you. And you know, it's different than just somebody that says, well, when I die, I want to go to heaven. It's a difference. I don't believe you have to die to go to heaven. I believe that there are those that are going to be alive when it's time to rapture out of here. The Bible says it. And I believe that those that have went on by the way of the grave, the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And I believe that. And if I'm longing for a resurrection, there first had to be a resurrection for me to long for one. I can't long for something that, you know, Abraham, the Bible says Abraham searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. And if Abraham was searching for that city, and you know, he never found it here on this earth, because it's not on this earth. But Abraham, there had to be a city whose builder and maker was God for Abraham to have a longing to look for it. Hallelujah. Oh, there's coming a day of a resurrection. There's coming a day when those that have went by the way of the grave will rise. But folks that are just saying, well, when I die, I just hope I go to heaven. Or they're just looking at it as a you know, place to go, but they don't really want to go right now. I heard something on the radio. There's somebody was singing a song about it. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. And I thought that's the way, that's an expression. This fellow that was singing that was an expression of how the world feels about it. Yeah, they want to go, but they want to live life first. Friends, I could go right now and not feel like I missed out on a thing. Amen. You young people, I want to tell you something. I'm not the oldest one in this building, but I'm not a young man no more. And I've lived a pretty good full life. But you young people, if the rapture came today, let me tell you, you ain't missed nothing. Amen. If the rapture comes and takes you today, you ain't missed nothing of this world. You ain't missed out on nothing. Like the brother just said, heartaches. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of heartaches in this life. There really is. There's, oh my. You know, I don't regret the testing that the Lord puts me through. And there's times where it gets rough. It's hard, like I mentioned last Sunday. But I just want to come out on the other side of it victorious. I don't want to come on the other side of it and find out I lost. You know, and the only way you can do that is if you don't lean on the Lord while you're going through the test. If you don't look to the Lord, then you're going to flunk it. You're going to fail the test. But I'll tell you this. There's been tests that I've took that the Lord's put me through that I have failed and failed miserably. But there was an old teacher, he's passed on now, Brother Joseph Hankins. A lot of things you hear me quote from him, I quote it from when I was a child. And once I became a teen, why I didn't see much anymore, and it wasn't until later on in life he called me when I hadn't lived down here very long at all, and he called me, and he always had a way about him. He didn't announce himself on the phone. He said, "Hey, I'm calling you because I lost my dog." He says he's about a half a dog high and two dogs long. And that's just kind of person he was, how he was, you know. And yeah, he was talking about a Dachshund. And he said, you know, if God gives you a test and you fail it, he said, that just means God's going to give you the test over again. And that had a lot of meaning to me, because I thought, why, there's some tests I don't want to take over again. They so bad, I want to pass them the first time, be done with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Branham said he was sitting on a porch with his wife, and they watched the cranes, he said, was lifting up in flight and going down toward the river. And he said he looked and he saw it was getting evening time. And he said he saw some of the robins, a couple of robins going fly up to their nest to nest for the night. He said the cranes were going down. He said they'd been feeding all day in the swamps. He said they was going on down toward the river where they would gather together, and there they'd be for the night. And he said, I just looked at it, being a person of nature. He said, well, God made a place for them to where they would go to feed. And God took care of them all day long, making sure they ate. He said, then God provided a place for them to go to settle for the night, a safe haven. He said, that's the same way for us. He said, there's a land beyond the river. Hallelujah. And he says, there's something in me that's calling. And he says, if it's calling, then there has to be a better land, a better place. Amen. And I believe that this morning. I believe that. If you've ever heard the message of Deep Call to the Deep, there's actually other messages. Brother Branham mentions it in. He mentions it quite frequently throughout many different messages he preached. For those perhaps maybe that's never heard it, Brother Branham's talking about this deep on the inside calling out to a deep out there. And he gave an example. One example, he talked about a little boy that was, he said he ate the pedals off of bicycles. How many remembers that, him talking about it? Said he ate the pedals off a bicycle, ate the erasers off a pencil. So they took him to the doctor to examine him, and the doctor said that his body was needing sulfur. It was low on sulfur. He said, so that the little boy, just nature within him, was trying to eat things like rubber that had the sulfur in it that his body needed. Today we got vitamins out there. You go to the doctor, draws blood, and he tells you he or she tells you if your body's low on something, and tells you take this supplement, you know. And he said, but before there could be a craving in that little boy for sulfur, he said there first had to be a sulfur for him to crave for. And he said, within him, if there was craving that, there had to be something out there to answer to it. I thought of that, how God has made this body, and how that, like I told you, when they take a blood test of you and they go in, they'll say, well, you're low in vitamin D, or you're low in you need to take some zinc, or you need to have this kind of supplement. And you know, your body's low on potassium, or your body's too high on potassium, and they look at those things. And I thought that God created this body. We know it's made up out of 16 elements, I believe it is, but God created this body, and this body has certain needs. And at one time, all the needs this body had when Adam and Eve was first here. All the needs that this body that God created, all the needs that it had, were right there at hand. Their bodies weren't lacking in anything. Everything needed was right there in a setting of perfection in the garden that God had created. Now that we've got out from that, then we find there's things that are lacking. Sometimes in your body or in your chemistry, but if there's something lacking there, then there has to be something out there that would respond to that's lacking, that would bring that back into the right balance. Brother Branham said that Brother Baxter told him that in the news then that there was a little child that was eating salt, craving salt, and said took the salt away from the child, wouldn't let it have no more salt, and said the child died. He said they took the child in and they performed an autopsy and that to see what was wrong, said that there was something in the child that needed the salt. And when they took the salt away, it died. I've never heard of anything like that before, but it said it was in the news then. And, you know, if your body, I've been where I've been deficient of vitamin D before. And they say that being deficient in vitamin D, one of the things they said that's a deficiency seen quite frequent among white people because your skin just reflects off the sun. And the sun is where you get a lot of natural vitamin D from. And they put me on some really high doses of vitamin D, gave me a vitamin D shot and that, and said it was I was so deficient, it was really dangerous. But I think what had happened, I was during a time when I was really going through such a dark depression that I didn't hardly feel like going out anywhere, and so I shut myself away into the dark all the time, and it created this lacking of this deficiency of vitamin D, you know. And this body was made to not to put itself away in the darkness, but it's made to be out in the sun. God not only put the sun there to, I thought about that. God, you know, God, he's just so great that he don't just say, well, this one thing's only going to do one thing. That he didn't put the sun there just to give us light, but he put the sun there because our bodies need a certain level of vitamin D. And I say, there had to be a source, and God created that source. But here's the thing. The doctors, you know, they gave me what they call prescription dosage of vitamin D, and they knew just how much they wanted me to take each day. But I thought, when you're getting it natural, what tells how much you need? How does it know, okay, we got enough? And I got to thinking about that. It reminded me of Brother Bram talking to that atheist up there, you know, and he said, what tells that sap to run down the tree and the in the winter, what tells it to run back up it in the, oh, and he said, if I put a bucket of water under that post, would it run up and down? He said, well, no. Yeah, it got me to thinking about that, how there's something gone, and you know, the vegetation of this world, it needs sunlight. And how many times in the Bible that we're likened unto such things as vegetation and its need for light. And that the longing for that light will cause, if it's under a rock, it'll cause it to grow out to where it gets off from under that rock. I've seen, you ever seen a cement split before and something, like on a sidewalk, something growing up out of it? Well, it split because there was something pushing on it. And you think, well, how in the world could that crack it? Well, because it's longing for that sunlight, needed that sunlight. Why? And how the sunlight, I don't know how many of y'all have ever grew like houseplants. And if you got a houseplant sitting in a place where the sun comes through a certain window, why, that houseplant will start to lean that way. And after a while, you got to kind of turn the houseplant so that it'd bring it back up, you know, and it's just drawn toward the sunlight. And there's something within us. It's not drawn to the darkness of this world. There's something in us that's drawn to the light of the Word. There's something in us that's drawn to the light of another life. It isn't this life we long for. It's not the things in this life that we're longing for. There's another life that we're longing for. Friends, I want eternal life. I want to live forever. Not because I'm afraid of death, but what it would be to live forever in the presence of God. Oh, it'd be like a great camp meeting that never ended. Hallelujah. You ever get away in some of them meetings, a camp meeting or something, and you get around different brothers and sisters, and you know, you just have such a wonderful time fellowshipping, and you hate to see it come to an end. Hallelujah, we're going to one, a meeting in the air, the song says. And it's never going to end. Hallelujah. For those of y'all who like to talk a lot, there's going to be a lot of time for you to talk. You ain't going to run out on time. Hallelujah, you're not going to be talking to somebody and them looking down at their watch because they got to go somewhere. You ain't got nowhere to go. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, for us to long for it, then it's got to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Adam made a statement in the message of Deep Calls of Deep he preached in 52 in Chicago, Illinois. And I wanted to read it to you. He said, you know, when the deep calls to the deep, there's got to be a deep to respond to it. You believe that, don't you? See, David said, when the deep calleth unto the deep. In other words, like this. Before something can be here calling out for something, there has to be something out there for this in here to be calling to. I'll read that again. He said, before something can be in here calling out to something, there had to be something out there for this in here to be calling to. And he asked the question, said, is that plain enough for you? Is that plain enough? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the prophet said if there's something, if there's a need, you know, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. And if there's a need for healing, he said, then there has to be a fountain open to pour out that healing to you. He said, if you have a need and a desire for healing, then there has to be a divine healing there to heal you. Just think about that. I'll tell you what, when it's in the simplicity, it's in the simplicity. Robert even says, he says, don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. It's in the simplicity of it. If we have a desire or a need to be healed, then there has to be a source of healing. And if there's a source of healing, then we can be healed. Hallelujah. The devil, I tell you, friends, he afflicts this time era of people. I think are afflicted more with different. There was different diseases in times past. Here in the United States, why I don't know if when was ever the last time you ever heard of there was any disease of leprosy among American people? They still have trouble with it in India. They still have it in the Philippines. Brother Roel said it was, he had done some studies. He's from the Philippines. He said he'd done some studies. He said, and there are certain foods that they eat that causes the leprosy. They say here in the United States that an armadillo can carry leprosy. But that's a disease we don't see much here. But there's other ones. People dying from the flu. Something that, what is it? These bodies have grown so weak, I guess because of hybrid foods being pumped full of food we eat, being pumped full of antibiotics and everything else, where it's made our bodies so weak that they're not as susceptible to fight things off. Many of you remember last year I was sick quite a bit. Sinus infections and some colds and things throughout the year, and congestion. And I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you what I did. I decided not to go to the doctor with it. I'd been to the doctor. They gave me a prescription. I'd get over it and get it back again. And so I thought, well, I got tired of coughing up all that stuff. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if my body might not fight this stuff off. And I just laid that before the Lord like that. And then this whole winter, so far from, I can tell you this, from sometime in September on, why, I haven't been sick at all. And I think that it's your body, they say that you get too much of antibiotics pumped into you that after a while they don't do you no good. And your body can't fight some of this common stuff off, you know. Now, I'm not telling you not to take medicine or not to go to the doctor if you're sick. This was a different thing with me. Like I said, it was this congestion and sinus infection and that, and I was just getting tired of dealing with it. I went and was tested for allergies, and I was going every week, going to an allergist, and she was giving me injections, and man, it seemed like all the time I was sick. But they say that they're putting that stuff in you so your body would learn to fight off those things. And I believe that to be true. Then I read in a message where Brother Branham said, somebody said, you got allergies, said the Lord heals you. And I thought, well, I don't have to accept having these allergies. I can be healed. You know, I can be healed. And I'm not against going to the doctor, and maybe an allergist or whoever. I'm not saying that, because I know that the knowledge, God has given that knowledge, and it's true. If they put a certain percent of dead virus in you, it'll help, supposed to help your body fight that off. I ain't had a flu shot since I was about 20 years old. I had a flu shot when I was 20 years old, and I got so sick with the flu, I thought I was going to die. And so I never worked in an environment where they required me to have it. I might have got it one other time. The Army might have forced it on us once when we was deploying. You don't got much choice when you're deploying somewhere. The Army just pump you some full of military. All of them does it. You line up, and here they go to shooting you in both arms and stuff. And if you take the flu shot, why, you go ahead and do it. You know, if it's helped you, I'm not telling you not to do it. But I believe that I know God is a healer. And if we have need of healing, then there is a God that can heal us. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. I can remember Sister Mammy Horner. She'd come up and be prayed for ever so often. She'd come up and pray for me and say, Brother Jerry, I got diabetes. Would you pray that God would heal me from that? And you know, I'd pray for it, and ever so often she'd come back up with it and say, Brother Jerry, I got diabetes. Would you pray God would heal me from that? And I remember watching her when we'd have our fellowship dinners down in the basement, and there are certain things she'd say, well, I love that, but I can't eat it because I got diabetes. But if she actually was able to carry through it, she got more resistance than I got. I'll tell you how I don't eat it. It can't be around me. That's the only way I can overcome it with eating. It just can't be around me. I can't be around it, you know. And if I get to craving something sweet like that, why, sometimes I'll stoop pretty low. You know, I'll take a Debbie cake if that's all I can get, you know. Hallelujah. Brother Branham made a statement in Message Expectations. He said long time ago, he said, people got to hungering for more of God. He said the church got formal. And people got to hungering for more of God. He said the baptism of the Holy Spirit came into existence. He said, because they was hungry and thirsting for more of God. He says, as long as you thirst for more of God, there's bound to be more of God somewhere to respond to that. As long as you're thirsting for more of God, then there has to be more of God to respond to it. And I thought, there's another place where Brother Branham was saying, if revelation seems to be beyond you, he said, just pray and seek God for it. He'll reveal it to you in this time. Amen. If you need more God, there's more God to be had. I don't think we'll ever reach a place or a time where we'll say, I've got enough of God. Reminds me of that song. I heard it not too long ago. It said, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup's overflowed. I love that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. But there's something I read here. It was in the message of Deep Calls of the Deep in 52. Brother Branham said, and it just really struck me. I want to read it to you. He says, some time ago, he said, the Lutherans had a revival. And there's a group come out, called themselves the Methodists. They called for God, the deep calling to the deep. And God rose up a little old fellow over there in England by the name of John Wesley and Whitefield and some of them. And away they went with the message of sanctification. They found more of God. Don't you believe that? So they was craving for more. Well, he said, went on for a while. And after a while, the Methodists began to organize and get cold and formal. Then the people began to crave more of God. Then along come Pentecost. Is that right? The deep call to the deep. He said, now the Pentecostal people begin to get just as cold and formal as the form and ritual as the rest of them. The first thing you know, the deep calls to the deep. Here comes the gifts restoring right back into the church. God moving along. See the deep calling into the deep. And I thought of that, and he preached that back in 52, and I thought of standing here this morning in the year of 2016. And I thought, you know what? If he was alive today, he'd look at a lot of the churches that call themselves message churches. I'm not trying to down anyone, but he'd look at a lot of folks that try to identify themselves as following him, following the message of Brother Branham, or following God, and he would tell them, you've got cold and formal. And I thought, out of that cold formality, I don't know, you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I've ran into it before. Sure. You clap your hands, you're out of church order. You say amen too loud, you're out of church order.
Somebody stands up and says, praise God, while the preacher's preaching, or shouts, amen, brother, whoa, you're out of church order. They've grown cold and formal. They believe just because if they don't cut their hair and wear a long dress, all of a sudden they're just heaven bound. I'll tell you something to it. It's more than just what you dress in. I believe in holiness dressing. I do. But I'll tell you what, it takes more than that. I've seen people go around backbiting, stabbing people in the back, talking about one another and everything else. It don't matter how holy you're dressing. That goes along, the scripture said, Jesus told the Pharisees, on the outside you're clean. He said, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. I believe that. Hallelujah. My goodness. There won't be no gossipers in heaven. I'm going to tell you. There ain't going to be no liars in heaven. Now, out of this cold formality that seems to have got around a lot of message folks in this day, there's a people that longs for more of God. They long for more than just, you excuse me, I hope I don't offend nobody. But if I do, why, maybe you just misunderstand me. But they long for more than just God sent a prophet. I believe we need to know God sent a prophet. I believe our young people need to know it. But if, like my grandfather said when he first saw, read his first message book, he said, if this man is a prophet, he said, then I believe we ought to listen and see what he had to say. I'll tell you what, there's a lot that claims it, friends, that don't believe it. I'm not trying to cast down on anybody, but I'll tell you this, friends, you can't believe this message or believe this word and think, well, I'll just make it without a pastor. You're not going to. That ain't pinning no stars on the pastors. But that's God's provided way. And I'll tell you, I got to thinking about this group and what this group went through years ago, and I only know probably just part of the story that I've collected from ones that were here. And how that, you know, some said they seemed betrayed and really let down because of what had come out from being in the ministry that had the church at the time. And you know, this church went through a time when they were longing for more of God than what they had. There was a time when it seemed real great, having big camp meetings, sponsoring them, a lot of pretty good big congregation. But the biggest congregation that this place used to have, there ought to be $1 million church sitting here. Paid for. Somebody at that time didn't have a vision for anything beyond meeting in a community center. I'll tell you, when the church in Ohio where my brother pastors, when we were first starting that work, during the midweek we meet in one another's homes. And we'd have a prayer meeting, and it would switch back and forth between the different homes, and we'd have a prayer meeting. We had a prayer meeting every Friday night. And our pastor, while he lived some distance away, he hadn't moved there just yet, but he would travel in on the weekend, every weekend, and we would rent a room down at the Family Y. And, you know, you'd be there, and there was where we rented the room Y, down the one side, the one wall was just all glass. And we'd try to pull the curtains, because while we was in there having church, you could see people going up and down the halls in their bathing suits going to swim. And, you know, we'd long to have a better place. We'd long to have a better place, a place that could be dedicated to worship, you know, and where there wouldn't be other things going on throughout the week. My father-in-law worked with a man, his nickname was Frenchie. And he, Frenchie came to my father-in-law one time, and he said, "Listen," said, "is your group looking for a place to worship?" He said, "My group," says the group I attend with, said, "we got a place, but we can't afford the we can't afford all the rent." And so we made a deal with them that they had morning and Sunday morning and Sunday evening, so they gave us a Sunday afternoon slot. And then they had church on one night of the week, and we'd have it on a different night. And we shared the rent with them. And we went on like that for quite a few years, you know, and every time we'd go on to have service, why, we'd be carrying our speakers out and setting them up, and our PA system out, setting them up, carrying out our amplifiers and setting them up, and all this, you know. And every time we get done, then you had to put all that stuff back away, you know, because they didn't want it left out. And so we had a cabinet. We'd have to put all that stuff back away in the cabinet. You know, we come to time to baptize, while we'd have to go down to the lake and baptize. And I'll tell you something. The lake ain't no place you want to be baptized in the middle of winter. I've seen them break ice and push the ice back to baptize people. And so there was a church that my wife and I, Wilmina, when we was going to get married, while we were looking for a, we were still actually at that time meeting in the Family Y, so we was looking for a place to get married, you know, and we wanted to be in a church, and it's just what we wanted at the time. And so somebody told me, said, "I know where there's a church," said, "out on Lake Breeze Road, I know there's a church out there," and said, "I've heard tell that they'll rent their church out for things like that." And so I went and got, they helped me get in touch with the pastor, and I met with the pastor and told him that I wanted to get married and needed a church to get married in, and asked if I could rent his church to get married in, and I rented that church. Well, then some years, that was in 1982. In 1996, our group purchased that church where Mina and I got married in. The pastor had, they put a baptistry in since we had got married in it. They didn't have one in there when we got married. But after that, they'd put a baptistry in, and so they got to know that pastor of that church real well, and he'd let them come over there, and they'd pay him something, and he'd let them come over, and we'd baptize our people there. And so when that group went to dissolve, by that pastor and the people was there and said, "Well, what are we going to do with the building?" He said, "Well, they wanted to sell the building." And one of them said, "Well, how about them people that's baptizing, renting this church to baptize?" Said, "They're baptizing so many people, they got to need a building." And so they called us, and they got that building. Friends, you see, if you some of y'all have been up there and seen it. And if there was a need for a building, then there had to be a building somewhere. And you know, it's the same thing with this church right here. You had a need for a place. You had a need. And perhaps you didn't even quite know you had a need. And then God sent a brother here, Brother John Andes. And Brother John Andes, he's just the kind of fella that that I believe that it was him that how that brother is, just his makeup inspired y'all to purchase this building. I don't think you'd have done it without him. And I believe that's why God sent him here. Brother John has a little bit more that way than I do, you know. And God just prepared the way, and it was a time that was needed. And I'll be honest with you, the time you needed it, why, I wasn't ready to come. I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have left where I was. You couldn't have talked me out of it. I was satisfied with being the fella that said, "Have you talked to the pastor?" I'll tell the pastor you need to talk to him. I was satisfied with being that individual, you know. But, you know, Brother Ram said, God puts a calling in our lives. You know, there's things that maybe a job or something that you find out that you're really good at it. And you think, well, maybe you're happy that you're good at it. But I want you to know something. You find something like that and it just seems like it comes natural, you're really good at it. That's because God put something there. That's because God put something there. Now, God knew you needed to make a living. You need to provide for yourself or family or whatever. And so God puts that there and allows you to be able to get that type of employment, and you're able to provide for yourself. But that ain't the only reason God let you have it. There's some way God wants to use it. I told Brother Ron Spencer, asked me, he said, "Brother," said, "before you come down here to pastor," he said, "what were you doing?" I said, "I was a sales manager." I said, I was really good at sales. He said, "I can believe that. Any preacher," he said, "has got any ounce of preacher in him should be able to sell anything." You know, I had to take a speaking class. And my wife said it wasn't hardly fair. We took it together, so it wasn't hardly fair because I spoke before people all the time. But all my speeches I gave were what they call, if I got it right, something to do with convincing speeches. Every speech I gave was convincing people of something. And my dad said that's what you do when you preach. You're convincing the people. Convincing the people. You know, if God put that in me to be a pastor, and when I finally accepted that, it took me to the year of 1998 before I would accept that was the real call God had on my life, was to be a pastor. The beginning of that year is when God spoke to me. I was down in West Virginia, and God spoke to me, and it told me by the scripture that he had called me to be a pastor. I was down there when the Lord gave me many of the scriptures, some of the scriptures you heard Brother Phil read back in October. The Lord gave them to me when I was down there just seeking the Lord, down in West Virginia. And when I realized that I accepted that, that's what God had for me. Well, I knew there had to be a church somewhere God wanted me to pastor. And God gave me a dream. And in the dream, it was a white block building that I saw. And I saw it from the side. And there was somebody standing by me, and I told him, I said, "God called me to go there and pastor." I didn't know where that white block building was, and I didn't go around everywhere I was going out on the field then. I was preaching a lot of different places. I didn't look at every man's church and say, is this one fit it? Be honest with you, when I came here and preached the first time, it never crossed my mind. It never even crossed my mind when I walked through the side door over there. The dream didn't come back to me. It didn't even cross my mind. I was standing back there in that study that Sunday evening, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this is the church I've been telling you about. Many of y'all heard me say it. Heard me tell it. And I told the Lord right then, I said, oh no, Lord, please not this place. I told the Lord, I said, this is one of the most depressed churches I've ever been to and preached at. And it's true. But you know what? That was the carnal side of me. You know, I heard a minister one time, Brother Tim Pruitt, I talked to him on the phone, and he gave me some advice. He said, now, Brother Jerry, I'm really tired. That might just be the carnal part of me speaking. We're carnal. We're just men just like everybody else. So that was just a carnal part of me that was thinking that, you know. And because I knew that God had told me where he was sending me, there had been great damage done, and there was a great need. But it took the Lord to speak to me one more time after that before I'd accept this is where God wanted me to come. But see how God was? God had that calling in me. And friends, gifts and callings are without repentance. A man is called to be a pastor, he's born with the gift. He don't get the gift on him by laying on the hands. He don't get the gift because, you know, I heard it said, you know, mama called and papa sent. You know, that ain't how you get the gift. I've ran into some of them mama called and papa sent. And I tell you what, it don't take long to find out they never was called. Not down in them, but it's the truth. But that, I was born with that gift. And back in 1962, when I was born, God knew that he was going to send me here in October of 1998. And knowing that, God throughout my life kept preparing me all throughout my life for when he was going to send me here. He prepared me because he knew what the man who he would send, what that man would face, and what that man would need to be able to face the things and to do right by the people. And while God was doing that, then it come to a place, a time where y'all had a need for a pastor. And if you needed a pastor, then God had to have a pastor. And if God called me to be a pastor, there had to be a church. And I'm not saying any of this, if you can just follow this along with this message I'm preaching, I'm not saying any of this to lift myself up in any way. But I'll tell you what, I feel like this is a perfect fit. I feel like it's a perfect fit. And I don't believe God's going to send me on anywhere else. You don't have to worry. It's like I heard a story said, this pastor was offered a bigger church, more people. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going upstairs to pray about this. And while I'm praying, you go ahead and pack. You don't have to worry about that. I don't plan on going anywhere. Went down to Fuzzle's yesterday. After we was up here with the trustees, and then after we left, I went down to Fuzzle's. And while I was trying on a pair of overalls back in the changing room, my wife was out there, and she said the gentleman was talking to her. After she talked to her, said, are you from Dixon? And you know, if you ain't, I don't know, I guess if you ain't talking in a certain way or whatever, they'll say, are you from around here? You know, he said, are you from Dixon? She said, well, we've been here 17 years. I like to think so. And he said, well, you've been here long enough, you can say it, he said. This is home. That's what I meant by that. This is home. You know, and I'm never ashamed when I go somewhere. I'm never ashamed to tell somebody I'm from Dixon, Tennessee. I look at what all God's done here. And I'm just happy to have been here to witness it, what all God's done. Amen. Look what all God's done in all y'all's lives. It's just the Lord. It wasn't some man, it's just God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, preached last time about launching out. We talked about, preached about fear and launching out. Some not launching because of fear. I'll tell you this. If there's a longing to be rid of the fear, then there's something there to deliver you from it.
Amen.
You say, what do I got to do to make that happen? Just believe.
Amen.
Just believe it. And trust God. Put it in God's hands. I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but if you're used to taking things in your own hands and fixing things and things like that, it's sometimes kind of hard to completely let go, turn loose, and just let God do it, because you've always been so busy doing it all yourself, you know. And you say, well, why is it hard to let go? You ain't going to believe this when I tell you, but maybe you will. It's cause of fear. It's that simple. Why sometimes we have a hard time letting go. And you're saying, all right, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm not going to try anything anymore. It's cause we're afraid. And you say, well, why can't we trust God? We trust God, but we just keep looking at the circumstances.
Amen.
That's what it is. It ain't that we don't trust the Lord. Some people say, I want to trust God more. I believe we do trust God. But I believe we get to just looking at the circumstances and the situation so much that it brings a lot of fear on us. Amen. If there's more of a hunger for God, there's a hunger more for more of God, then there's got to be more God to be had. David also expressed it this way. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Hallelujah. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, there had to be something in you that was calling you. And that's why you are here. There's something in you that was calling for God. That's why you're here. That's why you come. So don't listen to the devil when the devil keeps trying to tell you, oh, you're not one of them. You're just a faker. Why, you're just you're a hypocrite. Do you ever think of it this way? If you're one of God's and you keep believing the devil telling you you're not, then you are a hypocrite if you're trying to live like you're not and you actually are. Hallelujah. You know, just don't listen to him. I know sometimes you think it's your own thoughts. God tells you service after service, I love you. He tells you, serves. He points out the things that we need in our lives, the deficiencies that we have. And he don't just point them out and then leave it. But he shows us, I'm the Lord thy God that supplieth all thy needs. Hallelujah. I'm Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Let's stand as they come to the instruments. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, I just was sharing, Lord, what was on my heart about these things and how, Lord God, did it was dealing with me and how it blessed me, Lord, as I began to just meditate on these things, Lord, and the more I thought on them, the more it blessed me, God. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, dear God, that you created that call that's in us, Lord. That longing for God, Lord, you put that there. No man put it there. We didn't put it there. If we had, then it could be taken. But it can't never be satisfied by anything else but you, Lord. There's the people in the world, they have a thirst, Lord. And it's a thirst that's put in them naturally. And the prophet said they try to satisfy it with the things of the world. And I believe, Lord, some of them are satisfied. They're lost, but they're satisfied. Talk to people, Lord, and said, tell me, no, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell, but I'm going to live how I want to while I'm here. It's people of this earth, Lord, earth man. Lord, the prophet said, this is their time of millennium. This is all millennium they ever going to have. Ours is yet to come. Bless your people this morning, dear God. I pray may each one of them, Lord, realize, Lord, the call that's been in their life, that calling, longing for God. And realize, Lord, that you put that there, Lord. And that identifies who they are, dear God. Because no man can come except the Father calleth him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless your people, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jireh, my provider. So let's be dismissed this time. I have Brother Paul to dismiss us.